Now let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open our eyes this morning as you opened the eyes of Isaiah to see your glory, and as you answered the requests of those people who wanted to see Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that you would this morning give us open eyes and open ears to see you as you truly are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please take your seats. Take your seats. I want to begin with some good news. The good news is that after a few months waiting and lots of prayer, we have a new bishop for Derry and Raphoe, and he was elected on Thursday, and his name is Andrew Forster. And Andrew is currently a rector in Dungannon up in County Tyrone. And before that, he was in Drumcliff in County Sligo. He has great experience, north and south. He's a great man. He's an excellent minister, and I think he's going to be a great bishop. So we can thank God for who we have got. And what else do you want to know about him? He's married. He's got three children. He's 52, and he's very tall. Okay? So that's the essential facts. Okay? So that's Andrew Forster. So we give thanks to God for that. And it's great to have good news. There is not always a whole lot of good news about, is there? If you follow the newspapers, if you watch the news regularly on television or whatever comes into your phone or however you get your news, there's a lot that is quite depressing and downbeat. There seems to be so much that's unstable. There seems to be so much that's going wrong. Different parts of the world, even fairly close to home, we don't have a clue what's happening in politics and between different nations. And particularly upsetting is there doesn't seem to be much love, much kindness to go about. Sometimes we wonder, is anyone in control of all of this? And is there any love and kindness to be found out there? Or is it all bleak and dark? Well, the book of Isaiah is going to give us some help with those questions. In this autumn time, September and October, we're going to be turning back to this book of the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, and we're going to be dipping into it. It's a lengthy book, it's very deep, and we're only going to be really skimming the surface. But I think it's going to have a lot of help for us. Somebody once said that the Bible, as you know, it has 66 books in it, from the Old to the New Testament. And someone has said it's a bit like a medicine cabinet with 66 different medicines. And for every different illness and difficulty, there is some medicine there in the good book. And I think I have a feeling that the book of Isaiah is going to be the medicine for us in these days when there's so much that's uncertain, so much that's depressing and distressing, and so little love. Because what the book of Isaiah does is it opens up our eyes to much deeper realities than the things that we see in the newspaper or on TV or on social media. The book of Isaiah opens our eyes to the fact that there is a God who is utterly in control. He's completely majestic, and he's completely good. So it's going to be medicine for our souls, I think, if we stick with the book of Isaiah for these next couple of months. And I'd really encourage you to, indeed even to take it up and read it in your Bible at home. You'll find it right in the middle of the Old Testament. And you could start from chapter 1. We're starting in chapter 6, because that is the place where the prophet Isaiah was called. It's the place where this man, who we don't know very much about, was grabbed by God and given a new vision in life and a new mission. Maybe some of us here who are in work, you can remember how you came to be in the job that you're currently in. And perhaps there's a story behind it. Well, certainly there was a great story behind how Isaiah came to be a spokesman for God. And it's right here in chapter 6. And it begins like this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean very much to us, does it? Because who on earth is this King Uzziah? Well, when you look into the Old Testament, you find that he was a king who reigned for 52 years. So he had an extremely long rule over Jerusalem. And his rule was mostly, you might call it, strong and stable. Those of you that follow politics, you might remember back to when Theresa May became the British Prime Minister, and she promised she was going to be strong and stable. And unfortunately, it didn't really turn out that way. But King Uzziah really was strong and stable. He ruled in such a way that the people of God were kept safe and enemies were kept at bay. And by and large, he was a good king, although he had his failings as well. But the call comes to Isaiah here at the moment that that king dies. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So think about how significant this is. You've got someone who's ruled for 52 years. They've been strong, they've been stable. They've been someone that people can look to and think, okay, it's under control. The king is there. Things are going to be all right. And then he's gone. And everybody's wondering, what's going to come next? What's going to change? What difficulties or dangers are going to happen? And in that moment, for this one man in the temple, he sees the Lord sitting on what? On a throne. So he sees that however much the human kings and rulers may come and go, there's another ruler who's over it all and who's eternal. Okay, so this is a word for us as well today, in days when leaders and rulers come and go and there's much change. There is another ruler who's over it all, and he doesn't change, and he doesn't fail, and he's perfect. And of course, it's God. It's the Lord. It's an encouragement here to know there's another king. What does Isaiah learn about him? What do we learn about him from here? Well, we don't really find out what he looks like, because even though it says, I saw the Lord, when he gets down to detail, all he really tells us is that the train of his robe filled the temple. So God is so huge and awesome that the very edge of his garment is all that you can actually see. But we're told that above him were seraphim. So these are some kind of angels. Their name means that they're burning ones. And they have six wings. And they're covering their face, covering their feet, presumably so they're not showing the soles of their feet to God, which would be kind of disrespectful in that culture. And they are flying. And they're calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. What does that mean? What does it mean that God is holy? Whenever we think of someone being holy, I don't know what comes into your mind. Maybe you think of someone, who's just sort of very into religion. Oh, there's a very holy person. You know, he goes to meetings and he likes gospel music and he doesn't smoke or drink. Oh, he's very holy. He's a holy fella there. Maybe even we would mock someone by saying, oh, he's very holy, you know, or he's holier than thou. But when it says that God is holy, it means he's utterly perfect. It means he's completely and totally good. He's never had an evil thought. He's never done an evil action. He's never had a bad motive in his mind. God is perfect. And also, holy means that God is separate. He's far above us. He's different to us. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. I wonder sometimes, do we think God is a little bit small? Maybe we have God in a little compartment of our lives, like he's in a wee box, and we open the box on a Sunday, and we say hello to God, and then we close it up again. Or perhaps we open the little box when we want something, and we say a little prayer, and then we'll close them back in again. And what this vision in Isaiah 6 is showing us is that God is much, much bigger than that. He's holy, holy, holy. He fills the universe with his glory. And he's not to be squeezed into some little corner. And he's not to be ignored for most of our time. He makes demands on us. And yet also he's completely and utterly good. We read there, the whole earth is full of his glory. Now, what does glory mean? There's another big word for us today. Glory. What does it mean that God is glorious? Well, of course, it means he's powerful. Of course, it means he's very majestic. But also it means that he is good. There's a wonderful place in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter 33. And it's where Moses made an amazing request. He said to God in Exodus 33, show me your glory. Show me your glory. He wanted to get a glimpse of God. And God says, okay. He says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. So Moses says, show me your glory. And God says, okay, I'll show you my goodness. So the most glorious thing about God is that he's good. And when God does show himself to Moses, he says, I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So the most glorious thing about God is not just that he's so big and that he's so powerful, but that he is so loving and kind and good and gracious. He shows his glory by being kind to weak, feeble people like us. That the collect, the prayer for today, it's on your yellow sheet. It's amazing that it fell on this Sunday because it makes exactly the same point. It says that God shows his almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. So what is the glory of God? It's that he is utterly far apart from us. He's utterly good and he's kind and loving towards us. And of course, that kindness and love of God was shown most clearly when he sent his son into the world to die for us. So what do we do with all this? I'm going to finish off. Okay, I'm going to finish off for now, but we're going to come back to Isaiah 6 next week as well. We'll do a bit more of it. But what do we do? Well, when there's chaos going on around the world, when we look at the news and it just seems so depressing, and we think, who's in control of all this? And is there never going to be any good news? And where is there any love and kindness in this world? We look to God. We won't find it in this world. We won't find stability and peace in this world. We'll find it at that higher throne of God. When there is chaos and difficulty in our own lives, when illness comes, or loss, or relationships that break down, or some stress that comes, where do we look? Do you look inside? Do you look, remember that old song back in the, when was it, in the 90s? Look for the hero inside yourself. There isn't one there, okay? But there is one up there. That's where we look. We look not within, we look to God. We look to the Lord in those times of distress and difficulty. For Isaiah the prophet, when things were changing and crumbling around him, God showed himself. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that indeed you would give us open eyes to see your greatness and glory. We pray, Father, that in the difficulties and the stresses of our daily life, our eyes may be surely fixed on you and on your throne, and that as we turn to you, we would find, like Isaiah, forgiveness, strength, and fresh direction in life. Amen.